Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Seat, chair, cold steel. Surprisingly more versatile than just a seat. Put them all together, and you get one hard-hitting hell of a night.
Look at the size of that chair. That's like getting hit with a billboard.
Look at the chair. Look at the shape of that chair. John Cena's face just whacked that steel chair at the hands of Randy Orton.
There's a chair across two chairs, and he powerbombed him through the chair.
Curb stomp out of the chair.
Look out here.
The good chair. No.
Welcome to the Chair Shot Radio Network.
The Chair Shot!
It's not paranoia! It's the O's! Oh!
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Chair Shot Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sponsored by Chair Shot Radio Network and thechairshot.com. Always use your head. And as always, I'm joined by my partners in crime. First and foremost, put your hands together and show your love for the architect of Chair Shot Radio, Mr. DPP. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the commish. The commissioner of the United States of America is joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. PC Tunney.
Thank you, Mr. Platt. Indeed, episode number one of Chair Shot Radio. How are you boys feeling tonight?
Cold.
Fantastically well and only get
cold. Cold. It's you need to drink fucking, more of that.
It's fucking negative 10 in Milwaukee, for God's sakes.
Is that why you're dressed like a tube of Aquafresh?
Yeah, exactly. I got my blanket right here. I got my blankie, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready for some wrestling.
Big things coming to you today on Chair Shot Radio, episode number one. Let's keep everybody informed and run down the big show sheet. We're going to go over some Raw notes. We're going to go over some SmackDown notes. We're going to get to Wrestle Kingdom 12. And, of course, our interview with Kelly Klein of Women of Honor. DPP, let's get right into it and ring the bell. Let's get right into Raw notes. Usually I like to start with our main eventer, the Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, Christopher Platt. But I have to start with the architect here tonight. As we start with our Raw notes, Drew Gulak?
How are you doing?
Bob.
Come on. If you did not love that segment of Drew Gulak reading the piece of paper that Enzo wrote for him, and trying to make it sound like a normal person was reading it as monotoned and, you know, everything's straightforward and the realest gentleman in the room and the whole bit, I thought was absolutely hilarious. I mean, I don't want to go into it a long time, but I just, that whole bit, Drew Gulak is just nailing it right now. I'm sorry.
You know what? I agree, man. Drew Gulak, I can't even say his damn name, but Drew is one Gabba of my Gulak. Favorite things about Raw. Gabbity Gulak. He's one of my favorite things of Raw right now, man. He is. He's just so flipping corny, and he looks like a Democratic senator from the 90s, and the whole thing is just coming together well, and it's entertaining.
Where's the
He looks like John Edwards. That's who he looks like.
You think he's got one on the side?
Y'all remember him? Yeah, y'all remember him? He probably does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I remember. That's why I'm asking. Where's the PowerPoint presentations, though? What the fuck?
He saves
you
those for 205
Live. You biographer, the one taping the show about you? Okay.
PowerPoint presentations are safe.
Knock it off the photographer.
Friends become enemies. Everybody's richer for the experience.
So how about Nia Jax and Enzo? Speak on that a little bit. Nia left Alexa Bliss high and dry to go give Enzo some chicken soup.
Well, the old cup of noodles, you know, it was... I thought that was really weird.
Is that what they call it? The old cup of noodles.
That's what I call it. That's what I call it, apparently. It was very weird. You know, this whole thing that they got going on with Nia Jax and Enzo is such a weird combination, I guess. We don't know where they're going with it exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with these two. I thought maybe they'd pair them up in the Mix Max Challenge that they're doing with on Facebook here. But they're not even doing that, and they already pulled Enzo from the tournament because of his illness. So, you know, I'm curious to see how far they're going to go with this whole storyline.
Let's get the main eventer's opinion right here on Enzo and Nia.
I'm hating, man. I'm hating. I'm not going to lie to you, man, because Nia Jax, how can Enzo Amore bag Nia Jax, a.k.a. Big Fine? I'm low-key hating, man. It can lead to some interesting television, and we'll see where they go with it, but I'm not going to lie. I'm hating. Because she's not like most girls.
She seems pretty sweet on him, too.
All right?
Yeah, and you can't... Yeah, I don't like that, man. I don't like Big Fine with Enzo.
Hey, I saw an old picture of Enzo. He looked when he was all cleaned up before he got with the whole bit going.
Yeah. That's all I got.
He's a good gentleman. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? I can dig it. Should I say you can't teach that?
How do I? I don't know how to move on from you saying you can dig Enzo.
You just move on and nobody speaks another word about it. That's what we do.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I need to talk to Platt now. Okay. You need to go sit in the corner for a little while.
A lot of revelations coming out. Revelations coming out on this inaugural episode, man. I like it, man.
Hey, you hang out in the basement long enough, man. Yeah.
Have the courage to be yourself, bro. That's all I'm saying, man. It's all right, man. You can open that door to that closet, bro. It's okay.
Hey, you know what I got? You know what I got to say about that?
It's time to shake things up around here.
There's some.
Oh my god!
Just saying, man. You pause the door, brother. I'm just saying.
Hey. Alexa Bliss would have a hell of an evening herself on Raw.
Bite the segue.
Hey,
she'd be taking on Asuka. A lot of people were surprised at this match, and Asuka would end up winning. They played the whole Alexa wasn't ready for her kind of storyline to this match. Platt, how'd you feel about the match and them having this match on a Raw?
I mean, the match itself was what it was, but, I mean, they had to do something because it was New Year's Day, so they had to do something to draw people in to want to watch. And quite frankly, this is how they set up damn near every title match in WWE nowadays, man. The challenger beats the champion, and then they become the number one contender. So that's just what it is. And I mean, we're spiraling towards Asuka taking that belt anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference at this point, man. It is what it is. They tried to pop a rating during the new year, and I can't be mad at them for that.
I'm absolutely okay with having this match here as a non-title. It kind of gives the wrestling fans a chance to see them in the ring, have a match, and then eventually when we have the title match, it's going to be even better. And the one thing I'm getting really annoyed with is how come every match is going to end the same way when it comes with Asuka, where everybody's going to think she's not that great and she gets slapped in the face and then hulks up, basically. It's the slap in the face and hulk up. That's the way every Asuka match has ended since she's been on the main roster. And I think it's a shitty way to do the whole bit, my opinion. So, you know, they need to get off of that. But I'm fine with this match. I thought it was an awesome match. And they tell a great story. And they went with the whole, you know, nobody's ready for Asuka and Bliss wasn't ready. And then the next time, boom, they're ready to go. And they have their title match. And we're off to the races to WrestleMania.
Let's slide on over to the biggest thing in Raw, in my opinion, that it's happened in a while. We actually have the Balor Club in a six-man tag match. Before we get to DP's obviously complete joy radiating from his blue hoodie right now, Platt, give me, you know, a very an equal perspective, you know, a balanced perspective on what we saw on Raw.
I thought it was really cool, man. And the coolest part about it was, did you guys notice how excited Finn Bálor was coming out with his boys, man? Like, he was just, he had that big-ass Kool-Aid smile here, man. And that was just cool to see, man. I mean, to see genuine emotion in a wrestling ring, that was really cool for me. I marked out for that. It'll be interesting to see if it was just kind of a one-off because it was New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, rather. But we'll see where they go from there, man. But I thought it was great. It was cool seeing them together, you know, playing on their history and whatnot. And I'd like to see them kind of be a faction from here on out, seeing as how they're not really doing much with any of the three combatants involved. But we'll see what happens, man. It's WWE. This could have just been a one-off for all we know.
And my guess, it probably was a one-off, but I mean, seeing them together was just too sweet. And I've been calling this for quite a while. I really want them to put them together and be the Bálor Club and start something different, something fresh. It's a, like you said, you saw Finn Bálor looked like happy and way more comfortable than he has been since he's come back from his injury. There was a spark of life that all three of them got, because you're not doing anything with Ganderson either. And I've been calling for them to be traded to SmackDown and start this Bálor Club and get AJ involved or feud with AJ, because they need something different. All these guys there need something different. Putting them together, you saw something immediately when they stood in the ring. They already had their setup with the two guys standing there and Bálor up on the corner on the turnbuckle. They were ready to go. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. So I hope this continues, because it is amazing. And I know Greg DeMarco is not on board with this because he thinks the Royal Rumble is a three-person race, but I still want Finn Bálor to win the Royal Rumble, take it to SmackDown, bring Gallows and Anderson over, and start that Bálor Club, because it's awesome.
Yeah, I feel you, DP. I too wish the world was made of rainbows and sunshine. However, that's not where we stand. But shout out to Finn Bálor. I mean, this dude looked happier than Harvey Weinstein at an all-girls talent show. So shout out to Finn Bálor.
What's in the box, man? Too soon?
Too soon. I thought we got him out of the paint. We can't joke.
Let's move over to the blue brand. SmackDown Live. The Usos lose the... Oh, no. No, that was the wrong Uso. They're still the champs. Thoughts on that whole thing on SmackDown, Mr. Velvet Pipes?
So something happened, but then it didn't happen. So at the end of the day, nothing really happened. Those are my thoughts on SmackDown in general.
Well, ring the bell there for the whole Uso and Gable and Benjamin. No. I'm sure we're going to see a rematch down the road there. Let's move on to the next topic. Let's start off with DP here. Xavier Woods advances in the United States title tournament. They said they're going to free...
Yeah, can I just say one thing, man? Just shout out to Morgan Freeman Benjamin for still competing in his advanced years. So I just had to throw him a shout out.
All right. Good for you, Mr. Green Mile. Nobody talks
about the Chad Gable.
Dynamite drop in money.
We don't talk about what happened to Chad Gable that night.
So, the New Day is talking about freebirding the U.S. title. DP, give me your thoughts on whether or not you think that's actually going to happen and how you'd feel about that storyline.
Sadly, I don't think that's going to happen, because I think we're obviously leading to Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode for the finals of this U.S. title tournament. But that story, that idea, is probably the best thing they have right now. My opinion, I think that's the best thing they could do. I really think Xavier Woods should move on and get to the finals and maybe win this thing. Because, I mean, they've never done that before. They've done it with the Freebird rule with the tag titles. But the fact that they could do it with the U.S. title and have the New Day, move this around like that and have different U.S. title matches could be so entertaining for television. I don't think they're going to do it, but I think that would be... the best thing they could do with the U.S. title right now.
Platt, your whole thought on the U.S. title tournament?
Well, first and foremost, I just have to say that free birding the U.S. title, that sounds like something that the New Day would do with Paige on a Saturday night with a bottle of Southern Comfort. Now, be that as may, I don't really see them going there with the U.S. title. But that being said, you know, I would love to see them put the U.S. title on Mojo Rawley, strap a rocket to him and see what you got in him. But I got to agree with the architect on this one. I think this is a showcase for Jinder Mahal to get the title back and kind of continue his storyline. Either that or maybe Bobby Roode. But either way, I think it's either going to be Roode or Jinder at this point. I don't think they're going to really play around a little bit and see what they could do.
Let's move on to another title. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Sami Zayn would defeat AJ Styles, setting up a handicap match for that very title. You guys' thoughts on when's the last time we saw a handicap match for the world title?
I think the one recollection I have is Undertaker and Kane versus Stone Cold. I think back in the late 90s, there was a handicap match. I can't think of another one, though.
Was that a handicap match, or was it Undertaker and Kane for the belt and Stone Cold was the referee? I don't remember the handicap match. I remember that particular scenario.
There was some match at that point where there was a double pin, so they didn't know who the champion was. Maybe it wasn't Undertaker-Kane, but I remember there was two guys pinned. It must have been Stone Cold. Two guys pinned Stone Cold at the same time, and so they didn't know who the champion would be because there was a double pin. I don't know if it was Taker and Kane. It was right around, it was in that era, though. But this should be
fair enough.
This should be amazing, I think, because it opens up so many opportunities for storylines here, for having Daniel Bryan get involved in this match, or if you have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens start to feud because they can't decide who the champion's going to be when they try and pin AJ. So they have so many opportunities to go different ways with the story. I'm really excited that they're making this the type of match that they're making it.
Well, all you listeners, man, if you can kind of correct us and figure out what we were talking about, please hit us up on Twitter at Chairshot Radio and let us know where, you know, what it was that we were talking about, because we're both talking about two different things. So hit us up there, man, and let us know what it is. That being said, this is an interesting stipulation. My first thought when I saw it go down like that was that it was going to end up with KO and Sammy kind of feuding with each other. And while I would love to see a KO-Sami Zayn match at WrestleMania, I still think it's a little early to split them up, and I would kind of be disappointed. Because I kind of feel like for the first time, the lane is kind of clear for them to kind of wreak havoc on SmackDown and kind of do their thing. And you could really build the show around those two guys, man, and all the havoc that they could create. So I don't want to see them broken up, but I really don't see how you get out of this without that outcome. Just, you know, under the assumption that AJ Styles is still the champion, because I'm assuming he's going to be the champion going into Mania. I could be wrong. But we'll see what happens, man. And that's one of the cool things right now. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I see Shane McMahon getting involved in this match and costing Zayn and Kevin Owens the match. So that feud continues between him and Daniel Bryan.
I had one last question, but I don't anymore. So we got one last thing here.
See, we already knew. We already knew where you were going with it.
You didn't. It's last call.
Great minds think alike, man.
What do you mean? I mean, it's time for everybody to sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and seriously, get in your favorite chair and just let yourself go a little bit. Relax your feet, relax your legs, relax your arms, relax your hips, relax your back, relax your neck. Take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out. Take a drink of that drink. Now sit back, rest your head back, close your eyes, and listen as Mr. Velvet Pipes himself tells us what he thought of Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Relax your mind, let your conscience free. You're now rolling with your homeboy CDP. Ladies and gentlemen, last call. First and foremost, I've got to bury my co-host here for a hot second, because we are broadcast journalists and they have not found time out of their busy schedules to look and review only the biggest story in professional wrestling right now. So there's that.
Oh, yeah?
No, no,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, too.
Thank you, DPP, and I'm so proud that you came out of the closet, but unfortunately, my friend, you are not my type. So, be that as it may, Wrestle Kingdom 12, man. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega. First and foremost, I didn't have time to watch the entire card. I do want to go back and watch the entire card because there's a lot of cool matches on there. I want to watch the main event with Okada. I also, there's a cool match with Kota Ibushi and Cody Rhodes, which I want to check out. But, you know, I have to say this, man. Really cool setup. It was a really good match, man. It was brutal without being gory. They had spots, but you know, they had spots, but it wasn't a spot fest. And anybody that's playing a heel right now in professional wrestling or aspires to play a heel, you need to go check out that match with a pen and a pad and watch Chris Jericho, because it was a master's class at being a heel. It was great. Every time I see Omega, I'm more and more impressed with him. And I just had to give those guys kudos, man. And the coolest thing about this is that it was for the first time in a long time that I can remember, disregarding a sexual dispute or a sexual scandal or, you know, some guy beating up his old lady or somebody dying or ODing. This was the first time in a long time that the center of the wrestling universe was not centered around WWE. And I think that's a cool thing for the genre, man. And coming off of a strong 2017, which was arguably the best year in wrestling ever, I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen in 2018, man. And kudos to Omega and Jericho. And if you haven't seen that match, I implore you to go out of your way to go find it. And if you don't have access to New Japan, hit me up on the Twitter, DM me at The Real C Platt, and I may or may not have a place where you can go find that match and search it out for yourself and just sit back and be a fan again, man. And there's just so much cool wrestling and so much cool things going on in wrestling in 2018. Man, it's just a really good time to be a wrestling fan, and I spot my collar both of those guys for kicking off the year right, and they're waving me off. They're giving me the Oscars. The speech of the Oscars is running too long signal, so that means we got to cut it off at this point, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what it is.
In no way do the opinions or illegal feeds of Christopher Platt reflect on Chairshot Radio or thechairshot.com. Folks, just want to make sure you do check out at Chairshot Radio on the Twitter, thechairshot.com on the Twitter. Go to thechairshot.com. Mr. Velvet Pipes, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me at The Real C Platt, man. And again, hit me up, man. Send me a DM, and I may or may not be able to help you out to watch Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Why don't they want to argue with you, though?
Because they're, your arms are too short to box with God, baby.
That's what I was looking for. I'll pop for that one.
But bring it on. Bring it on.
Architect, let them know.
There's just one place on the Twitter, at It's Me, DPP. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Y'all can suck it.
For me, folks, just go to thechairshot.com or at PC Daily Dozen on the Twitter. DP. You want to tell everybody what they've been waiting for?
What they have been waiting for, of course, is the interview with the gatekeeper herself, Kelly Klein, Women of Honor superstar. We talk about everything from her growing up, getting into sports, when she decided to be a pro wrestler. We talk about her wrestling styles. We talk about how she went over to Japan recently. We go into all that kind of detail. We talk about her Women of Honor debut and this whole evolution of the women's division, which has been amazing. And we get into the tournament itself for the first ever Women of Honor women's champion. And she's looking forward to hopefully being the first ever women's champion. So again, as PC Tunney said just a minute ago for Last Call, sit back, relax, get your favorite drink, and enjoy listening to the gatekeeper, Kelly Klein.
Greetings and salutations, wrestling fans. We currently have the honor, pleasure and privilege to be speaking with Women of Honor superstar, Miss Kelly Klein. Kelly, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Oh, the pleasure's all ours, trust me. Please believe. First and foremost, I have to send a special shout-out. I see that you are a fellow Aquarius, so I have to send you a shout-out for that. And hopefully I'm the first person of this new year to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you, and happy birthday to you as well.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm February 12th, so yeah, I appreciate it. So us Aquarius, we have to stick together,
man.
We're gonna save this. We're gonna save this world, as far as I'm concerned.
Made it.
Well, from a Taurus, you guys can suck it.
Don't be bitter, man.
God,
just get better.
I feel left out. I feel left out.
As well you should, man. That blue Under Armour sweatshirt isn't helping your cause either, but that's neither here nor there.
Come on.
See, and that's the thing is, like, if you were an Aquarius, you wouldn't be bothered because you'd be so laid back. You'd be like, oh, that's cool. Fine.
That's true.
Exactly.
The Tauruses are very, yeah.
So, first and foremost, you know, professional wrestling is such an interesting line of work, and it blends so many different genres together. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background. Were you athletic as a kid? Did you participate in sports? Or, you know, what led you upon this path?
I was athletic. My entire family has always been into sports of all different kinds and very competitive. Some people would say to a fault, but I don't think so. I think it's great. And so my main sport was softball, but I did all kinds of different things. And then I also have a really extensive theater and performance background. So really that was why I was so drawn to professional wrestling, because it brought together everything that I love.
That makes perfect sense. And I understand that you coach a softball team now. Is that correct?
Yes, I actually did not coach or will not be coaching this season due to my recent trip to Japan. I normally would have been doing preseason conditioning the entire time basically that I was gone. So I wasn't able to coach this year. But I'm hoping that sometime again in the future I will be able to find a team that I can coach, because I love coaching softball.
So what was the team? What was the team you were coaching before?
I was coaching with another coach of the varsity team for a all girls Catholic fast pitch team for a Catholic school called Roger Bacon in Cincinnati.
Okay.
You're also a fellow Midwesterner, so I have to give you a shout out for that as well, because us Midwesterners have to stay together also.
That's right.
Hey, at least that one I can join in with you guys on that one.
Oh, that's good. Well, I was going to say, you're getting the odds are stacked against you if you miss this one too.
Almost. I mean, you guys are from Ohio. I'm Wisconsin and over in Milwaukee, but you know, close.
That's all right. So a lot of my family's from Milwaukee. So
okay, awesome.
Don't do that, Kelly. He's still the odd man out. This is an Ohio thing. Don't try to make him inclusive. Like, no.
Hey, we don't want to talk about Ohio and sports and everything. Let's not.
Yeah, we have LeBron. That's about it. But that's neither here nor there. So, Kelly, what was it about professional wrestling that initially drew you to it? Were you a fan growing up, or was this something that you kind of backed into? Or just talk to us a little bit about your journey in becoming a professional wrestler.
It was really a kind of, in a way, a pretty quick journey, because I did not grow up watching it. I really wasn't exposed to it. So the first time I experienced it was when I went to a live independent wrestling event at Heartland Wrestling Association, and maybe halfway through the show, I had already decided that I was going to do it, and I had to figure out how I could get in the ring. I had gone basically as I made a deal with a coworker that if he would come see my band would come see him wrestle. So that was why I went, and then I was hooked immediately.
So you coach softball, you wrestle, and you're also in a band. So you're somewhat of a Renaissance woman, huh?
Yeah, I'm
I'm well-rounded, multifaceted.
So what year was this when you were seeing this wrestling event and decided, this is what I want to do? How old were you when you did that?
I think I was 19.
So you got started pretty young then.
Yeah, relatively. I mean, I know there are definitely people who started even younger than that, but the first time I saw an event, I wasn't like, oh, I want to come back and watch more shows. I immediately knew that I wanted to find out where I could train, so I kind of made that jump pretty quickly.
So it wasn't even, you know, seeing wrestling on television. It was an independent. When you first saw the independent matches, did you immediately kind of go on and try and find like WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor and any of those shows to watch more?
Not really until I started training. When I started training, then I started kind of studying and trying to watch not only what was going on at the time, but also kind of getting caught up on the history of wrestling and watching a lot of older wrestling from many different companies.
You know, I'm fascinated about the whole process in becoming a professional wrestler. So if you could, I understand that you trained with Les Thatcher out in Cincinnati. For those of you that don't know, Les Thatcher is a legendary trainer. There's been a lot of people that have come through his school. So if you could, just talk a little bit about that process and what that entailed.
As far as just going through training and everything?
Yes.
There are so many different aspects of it. So at first it's really about conditioning and do you have the condition or are you able and willing to get in the condition and put in the work to be able to wrestle. And then we started learning just different skills and just kind of building from the ground up. And there were a lot of things that I remember learning, and at the time I didn't really know why or how or when I would apply those things, but then kind of everything clicked, and then I got to the point where then training was more about like fine-tuning those skills and learning how to be creative and kind of expanding and stretching, you know, kind of the creativity and then figuring out, you know, like then you sort of pinpoint what are you good at, what are you not good at, and really strengthening what you're good at, but then always finding what your weaknesses are and just, you know, improving those things as much as possible.
So what was that moment for you where everything clicked and you just kind of had that aha moment where you said, okay, I get it, I know what this is about, and now I'm just going to hone my skills from this point?
Well, I don't think there's really one moment, but there are moments for kind of like different aspects. So I can't really say I had one moment, and I always am trying to learn. So I think if anybody, you know, that I don't know, maybe there's a few people that can really say, okay, I got it, I know it all, but I feel like there's always an opportunity to learn, and especially the way just in any kind of art form and even athletics, there are things that are always changing and evolving, and people are kind of coming up with new ideas and innovations, and then sometimes you're cycling back and going back to things that people had done before and bringing those things back. So I feel like there's always an opportunity to learn.
You mentioned kind of innovation, and I want to talk a little bit about your style of wrestling, because when I watch you, you do a lot. I mean, I feel like you like the submission wrestling, you know, your finisher is a submission finisher, that guillotine choke and everything. What made you kind of decide to go with that style of wrestling? Was it just from the training that you had, or did you develop it over time that you just liked it and you kind of gravitated towards that style?
Well, it was something that did always feel, I think, a little more natural to me, and I think that stemmed from the fact that I grew up around amateur and Greco-Roman style wrestling. So from when I was 5 years old, I was going to wrestling meets because my dad coached and my brother wrestled, and then
my brother went on to coach wrestling as well, and all my cousins, I mean, everybody in my family wrestled. So that kind of, like, mat wrestling was just something that I had seen all my life, and I really appreciated it and really liked it. So when I started wrestling, that was just something that I gravitated to, where I can appreciate there are so many different styles of wrestling, and you can kind of mix a lot of different things together. But people that I really loved watching when I really started watching wrestling were like Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit and the Guerreros, and you know, any like William Regal, like anybody that kind of had a lot of that like technical wrestling and some of that mat based kind of style.
Well, and it kind of fits that your background a little bit too, with that theatrical, and you're telling, you know, with that type of mat wrestling and everything like that, you're really telling that story in the ring, and it fits your character, knowing you have that kind of background.
Mm-hmm. I definitely like telling stories, so that's one of my favorite parts of wrestling in general.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So Kelly, you grew up with a brother that was a wrestler, so I assume that it's fair to say, as a matter of fact, I can damn near guarantee that you were put into a figure four leg lock as a child. Would I be correct in that assessment?
Well, when I was 5, he was 14, and he would always come home from wrestling practice and, oh, we learned this today. So I was, you know, kind of learning how to hold my own. I remember he would always get mad because he would say, you can't scratch, you can't use your nails. But at the same time, I was like, well, I'm 5 and you're 14 and you're getting trained to do this. So, you know, I feel like all's fair, but I definitely, you know, I learned, you know, just kind of how to fight.
Well, yeah. And you can take that, you know, that clawing and scratching and use that in your heel character there on Women of Honor.
I would never.
No? You could bend the rules a little bit, you know, when referee's not looking, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't have to. So.
Don't feel bad. I'm a grown-ass man, and I still put my lady in a figure four if I catch her slipping. So that's just kind of what we do as guys. We're a little rough. We play
you
rough.
You better hope nobody teaches her how to reverse that.
When she learns how to reverse it, I'll be in trouble. But until that time comes, mm-hmm. when I catch her slipping.
What's her number? Send me her Facebook.
No, Kelly. We got a good thing working over here, Kelly. No. Right. So, Kelly, I have to ask you this, and I ask all of the women performers that we have on our show about this particular question. You know, you're a professional wrestler, and you're navigating in a male-dominated world. I mean, professional wrestling, for as long as it's been around, has kind of been a boys' club. So I want you to talk to the audience a little bit about how you navigate those waters in an all-boys club as a woman, because I'm sure you've had instances where, you know, you've dealt with creepy promoters or people that just didn't respect you just based off the fact that you're a woman. So just talk a little bit about those experiences.
I mean, that is definitely something that exists, and it exists in everything, but I think you're right that there are more opportunities in sports, and particularly mixed sports. For me, just because of the way I was raised, and I've got an older brother, and then I've got 2 sisters, and just the way my sisters and I were raised, we've always really stood up for ourselves, and even I feel like that's demonstrated by the fact that, you know, my brother was wrestling me when I was 5, and, you know, I wasn't, I'm trying to remember, how old was I when he was teaching me, and my dad were teaching me how to throw a punch? Was maybe, I think I was like 7. So
got you started early.
There was, yeah. While that is something that exists, I'm really fortunate that sort of sense of strength and independence was instilled in me for my entire life. So
I think for me, that's something that really helped me navigate and stand up for myself and have the confidence to, you know, just go for it and know that my gender didn't determine, you know, what I could or couldn't do, and that, you know, there are some men that are better at some things than I am, and I'm better at some men at, or better than some men at certain things, and, you know, that it doesn't, it's just, you know, an individual basis for the most part.
No, that's fair enough. I have to ask this, though, as a bit of a follow-up question. With everything that's been going on this previous year, you know, there were a lot of the guys in you know, the Hollywood industry and different industries all together that were kind of getting called out for foul play, should we say. How long do you think it would be before those types of allegations hit professional wrestling?
I don't know, because I feel like in those aspects, as far as some of the, I guess, kind of behind the scenes things and the way wrestling has been ran for a long time, in some ways it's not like necessarily other businesses. And so I don't know how that'll go. And I think that in a lot of situations that we've had coming up, people have been feeling confident and more comfortable coming forward about things because they feel safer now, and they feel like they're not going to necessarily lose everything the way even 10 years ago they would. And even now there's still that fear and that risk, but I think people are feeling more supported now. So I don't know, you know, I have no idea.
No, that's fair. And you know, I just want to say this. I just want to throw this out there. You know, I give kudos to the women that do have the courage to step up and say something. And for those that don't, I completely understand. I mean, you're trying to navigate in a male-dominated world, so I understand why you might feel a certain way, or, you know, might feel nervous to come up and speak up. So I completely understand that. But kind of moving along a little bit, the past few years, we've seen somewhat of a renaissance in women's wrestling. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, I've seen women, you all have done things in the ring that I didn't even know it was possible for a woman to do, which is a really cool thing. And I think that women bring a really cool and different dynamic into the wrestling business, which I'm enjoying watching and watching this whole thing progress. So I want to ask you, where do you see the future of women's wrestling going from here?
You know, I don't know, because I feel like on one hand, maybe because of, you know, some of the things you mentioned, maybe intergender wrestling will become something that's more common. But at the same time, I think that would take a very long time, because I know not only just within the wrestling companies, but sometimes even if a wrestling company is comfortable with something, the FCC and the stations that they broadcast on won't be comfortable with certain things. So I would like to see that happen, but if that doesn't happen, which it may not for a long time, if ever, I would like to see, and I think this is starting to happen, but just more representation, because it's a cyclical thing where more women are being represented in a really positive, strong way, and that is encouraging more young women to then train. Because if you think, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if a woman was interested in wrestling, but then she looked at the product and looked at the opportunities available, there weren't a lot of roles, and the roles that were available, you know, a lot of women may be like, you know what, if that's the only role available, maybe that's not really what I want to do. But now that it's sort of a different landscape, I feel like we're seeing a lot more talent. And it's not that it was never there. I think there were just women that went other routes because they didn't feel like there was a place for them. So now there are more people being attracted to wrestling. And now we're seeing, I feel like, just a larger pool of talent, which then gives, you know, credence to the idea that there should be more time given to the women because there's a larger percentage of the talent pool that are women. So I feel like that's starting to happen, and I think that that will continue.
Oh, we're definitely seeing that representation increasing, and you talk about the evolution. We're seeing that in Ring of Honor right now with Women of Honor, you know, coming into play. And I know we definitely want to talk about that, but I first actually want to ask you about how Japan went. You just got back from a trip to Japan. How did everything go over there?
That was amazing. I loved it. I cannot wait to go back. It was really incredible because I was part of the first ever foreign tag team to win the Goddesses of Stardom tag team tournament. So that was just a huge, it was an honor for me to be able to be in that position. And just being able to literally every day just like train and work out, that was, you know, that was my whole job.
Yeah.
You know, that's living the dream. It's like eat, sleep, work out, train, repeat.
And you must have, I mean, they definitely have a different style of wrestling over there. You know, what did you take? What was kind of the biggest thing you took from the Japan style that you want to bring back here to the States?
I dropped you. I felt like overall there was a level of intensity that just spanned across all of the women, and that's something that I like, and I like in my style. So it's something that I was really comfortable with, and I was really glad that I was able to work with a lot of women that had that sort of same style and approach. So I would love to see more people kind of adopt that. Just in it, you know, not about like trying to hurt each other, just the intensity and the energy.
Well, that's strong style that's from Japan and is amazing. And it's nice to see that it kind of is starting to come over to the United States. We see, you know, we're starting to see a few more Japan wrestlers come over and get into these different companies. So it's nice to see other styles, and I'm sure it's a blast for you to be able to go over to Japan and learn something new and train with different people. And it's got to be just an amazing feeling and to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I love being around people that can elevate me, and what I mean by that is I like being around people that kind of almost give me a run for my money in a way where it's like, okay, if they do better, then I have to do better. And when you're not, I was telling somebody this recently, I said, if you look around and you're in the bottom or the top 25%, then you want to go somewhere where you're in the bottom 25% and you have to climb up again, and that's how you're going to get better. And when I can be around people that are, they're always getting better and they're pushing, then it's like it gives me kind of another aspect of competition besides just competing with myself. And there was just that attitude of everybody was, you know, pushing each other and knowing that the better everyone else did, the better we could each do.
So... Oh, go ahead, Platt.
No, I was going to ask. So, I see a lot of Benoit in your style, and I believe you brought that up earlier. I see some Benoit, I see some Dean Malenko, so I can understand why you would catch on in Japan. And I'm hoping that type of style of wrestling will catch on here in the United States, because it's more, I guess it's more reality based and kind of presenting the product as more of a legitimate sport, which I always dig. But I have to ask you, past, present, male, female, who is your dream opponent? Who is that one person, again, male or female, that you say, you know what, I really want to mix it up with them in the ring?
That's such a difficult question because there are so many good answers. So I don't like to cop out, but the first person that popped into my head was like a William Regal, like somebody like that he just knows all of that kind of technical style and knows all the reversals. And I really like kind of learning in that way. I had some opportunities when I was in Japan to just kind of, we would do like 2 minute rounds of just like shooting and going for submission. And I got to, work with some girls that were, really the kind of top badasses there. And, that gave me an opportunity to test myself and push myself. And then, you can learn from other people. Even if they beat you, you can learn, okay, how did they beat me and what did they do? And can I do that? And then, can I counter that? You can learn so much from that.
So over in Japan, you became the first ever Goddess of Stardom tag team champion, correct?
First foreign
Goddess of Stardom tag team champion. And here, back in the States, you have the opportunity to become the first ever Woman of Honor champion. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I am so excited to just be a part of all of this with Women of Honor, being part of this relaunch and this this build, and really kind of being part of this group that's building it, and bringing this Women of Honor championship. And I think we're going to do a lot of really amazing things this year. So I'm just thrilled that I can be along and be included in that. And to help make all that happen is really awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. It's one of the things I was looking forward to when we talked about the end of 2017. What you were looking forward to the most for 2018? For me, this was number one on the list. The Women of Honor championship. It's amazing, and it's a long time coming for the Ring of Honor corporation or brand, whatever you want to call it. There. You guys brought in a ton of women. Can you tell us some of the matches that you've had so far? I know I got to call you out on this one because you wrestled the Midwest Slayer, Stacy Shadows, which is one of our local Bruce City Wrestling superstars, and she's amazing. And unfortunately you beat her, so I'm not too happy about that with you right now. But
you should be talking to her about that.
Don't be a mark, DP. We got the line right now, brother. Don't be a mark, man.
I got to support my home team,
But we're talking to a winner.
Can you tell us some of the matches that you've already had with a lot of these women, like Deonna Purrazzo and Stacy Shadows, and some of those matches that you've had and the journey that's going on so far and the future that's coming up here and your hopeful win of the first ever women's championship?
So I'm sorry,
I kind of stumbled. the matches that you've had so far and the whole journey so far that's been going on with this tournament.
That is a loaded question. I loved working with Stacy, and that was really surprising that that was the first time she and I had ever touched in a ring. And being that we are both from the Midwest and we've even had been on events together before, but we had never really crossed paths in the ring before. So that was really kind of surprising that it never happened until we had that match in Chicago Ridge. But I loved working with her because she was somebody who was just like me in a lot of ways, and being able to just have that kind of intensity and go all out and really, really fight and have somebody to push me and challenge me was a lot of fun. And I really am hoping that sooner than later I get an opportunity to get in there with her again.
Yeah, hopefully this wasn't the last opportunity. Do you know who else you have on the horizon here for this tournament?
I don't know. I don't think my next match has been announced yet. So hopefully within like the next few days or week, we'll know what I've got coming up. But you know, I know there's a handful of women I have not been in the ring with yet. So, you know, I'm kind of keeping an eye on them. And then the women I have been in the ring with before, you know, I have some idea of kind of what they have to offer. But, you know, some of them have been training and working with different people and maybe updated or evolved their style. So I have to just kind of keep an eye on what everybody's doing, because that's what really determines my approach.
Okay, I can ask you a big question. What would it mean to you to be the first ever Women of Honor champion?
I mean, being the first anything is really important, because that's something that goes in the history books, and no matter what, nobody else can take that away. There's only one first. So that would definitely be a big accomplishment. And I would, you know, I would be happy to, you know, take on that, you know, it'd be a big opportunity, but it's, you know, it is a responsibility, and I would really be thrilled if I could have that opportunity and responsibility.
Well, there are some firsts that might not necessarily be the best thing. Like the first Melon Farmer, they got blown up by Dynamite. Like, I'm pretty sure they didn't, they don't really feel that great about being the first. And, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of people that have been in my past feel that way. So I imagine they can relate.
Well, history is history. So I understand where you're coming from. But seeing as how we just turned the calendar into a new year, what are some personal goals that you have for yourself in the business come 2018?
Besides Women of Honor champion, of course.
Of course.
Well, right, that's a given. I just want to wrestle more. I want to train more. I want to learn more. I think especially this past year, people have seen me kind of stretch my wings in a way where I've been trying things where typically I stay very grounded. I've been, you know, kind of venturing up to the top turnbuckle and doing some stuff on the ropes. And when I was in Japan, I took that opportunity to learn some different things and really try out some things to find out what I'm actually capable of. And that was very eye-opening, because there were some things that I previously may have not really felt like it was something that I could do. And being in that situation where I was training so often, I had the chance to just try different things. And sometimes I surprised myself with what I was able to do. So I think if I was surprised, then people watching will probably be surprised when they see it too.
You mentioned wanting to go back to Japan earlier. Do you have any other opportunities to go to other countries? Are there any other ones that you want to go to learn the different styles from them?
I definitely want to go to Europe. If anyone's listening, that's someplace I haven't been, and I feel like I could learn a lot there. So, but I really want to go everywhere possible. But that would probably be my next big one that I would like to go. And then I would really like to, you know, go to Mexico sometime, because that's just a big kind of part of wrestling history and totally different style. And I would really, you know, just like to learn as much as I can. So I would love to get an opportunity to do that and learn that.
So, Kelly, DP, I just have one more question for her personally. So I understand that you studied voice performance in college. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I would love, and first and foremost, I have a voice of a cat getting stabbed by a butcher knife, but I would really appreciate it. I would love to have a duet pop off right now just between me and you. Nothing too long. We don't have to stretch anything out, but you let me know what your favorite song is to perform, and I would love to have a duet pop off. Ms. Kelly Klein, can we please get that going for the audience?
Let's see. Are you feeling like more of like a ballad? Or like...
You let me know. I'm versatile. You let me know. And you would pick country.
I mean, one of my classic go tos is Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You.
Let's give it a shot. Boy. What you got? Let's give it a shot. Pardon me.
Okay, ready.
We'll just do the chorus. All right, the part everybody knows, and I will just do that. Is that fair?
No, you cannot just jump in. That's crazy. Hold on,
I don't know words, Kelsey. Go ahead and help me out.
If I should stay,
you still there? Don't hang up on me now. Were you still there?
Leave me in your way, yeah. So I'll go, but I know. I think of you every step of the way, and
I will always love you.
I will always
love you. Kelly, you weren't bad. You didn't even work, but you weren't
that
bad.
Yeah,
oh my god, she was beautiful. You were accurate when you said you sounded like a cat getting stabbed over there. Oh my god. Whew. That was beautiful. Kelly,
I love you so much for being such a good sport, but I really do appreciate it.
Good. I'm all warmed up because I got to go do karaoke with my dad in a little bit.
Well, there you go. I'm glad we could get you all set up now. Look at that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Kelly, please let the good people know where they can find you any and everywhere.
All right. So I have figured out how to make all of my social media the same. So if you go to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, they are all Real Kelly Klein. So Twitter and Instagram are at Real Kelly Klein, and then Facebook is facebook.com/RealKellyKlein. And those are places you can kind of follow, see what I'm up to. I try to advertise where I'm going to be and, kind of just like projects that I have coming up. And sometimes I'm hilarious. So that's always fun. But, it's a variety.
I got a fun question just to finish it off. I think I understand, Christopher Platt mentioned a cat getting stabbed. You have a cat yourself.
I do.
All right. What is the boy or girl's name?
It is a boy, and his name is Rigby.
Very nice. I have four myself, so I just had to ask.
Yeah, I used to have a few, and I ended up with more than I anticipated because I ended up with kittens.
Yeah.
But now it's just Rigby, and he's spoiled rotten. So.
So Kelly, sounds can you right. please let DP know that it's weird for a guy to have multiple cats?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right.
I got one. I got one this time. Yeah.
You are such a beautiful person, Kelly, and I really appreciated you, and I love this interview. You are such a beautiful person. Thank you so much for helping DP out, man.
Thank you, Kelly. I hope we can talk again soon, hopefully after you capture that Women of Honor title.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to.
All right, Kelly. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.